We're up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Chaf Hei. In the first part of the Perek, we learned how David heard the tragic news that his son Avshalom was killed, and Yoav told him that he has to greet his soldiers and encourage them. He can't act like it's a tragedy, otherwise all his men will desert. And David strengthened himself, and he sat by the gate, and he greeted all of his soldiers. Then we learned that the Shvatim all decided that they were wrong in choosing Avshalom. The question was, who's to blame? They were all debating it. We have to bring back David HaMelech to be the king over all of Klal Yisrael. And David heard that the people were ready to welcome him back, so he sent a message to his Shevet, to the tribe of Yehuda, and he said, why should you be the last ones? If everyone's greeting me, you should also send for your Zakenim, the elders of Yehuda, should be involved in bringing Yehuda back. Shimi ben Gera came to greet David HaMelech, and he begged forgiveness for the fact that he had cursed and he had heaped scorn on David when David had been fleeing. And David forgave Shimi ben Gera. At least he told him at the moment he would not be killed. Pasuk Chaf Hei. Now we go back to Mephibosheth ben Shaul. Now Mephibosheth was actually, this is the third part of the story. This is the third and final episode with Mephibosheth. Back in Perek Tes, David had said he wanted to do a chesed with the family of Shaul. He was such a loyal and such a soulmate with Yehonathan, who was the son of Shaul. They had such a deep bond. He wanted to do some chesed with the family of Shaul. And he had been told at that point that there was Tziva, there was a slave, and he ran the estate for Shaul's family. And although Shaul's sons had been killed, Yehonathan's son and two other sons, but there was still a son to Yehonah's son whose name was Mephibosheth. And this son, Mephibosheth, was lame. So the king asked, where is this son? And Tziva, who was the slave, his name was Tziva, said he's below Davar. He's in that place, and the king sent, and he brought him below Davar. And we mentioned Chazal noticed the difference in the word below Davar and Milo Davar, that possibly Tziva had said, he has a son, there's a son Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonah's son, but he doesn't fit to be at the king's table. Below Davar, he has no Torah, he's ignorant, and he's not fit to sit at the royal table. And David brought him, and so Milo Davar, that he was actually full of Torah. According to that explanation, Tziva already lied once. He was caught once that he said his master was ignorant, and that wasn't true. Anyways, Mephibosheth was brought to David. This is back in Perek Tes. And David said to him he wanted to do a chesed with him, and Tziva should take care of the whole estate, all the fields, everything that belonged to Shaul. And Mephibosheth himself would be able to eat at the royal table. And at that point we discussed what was the chesed, what was the special kindness. If it was if the property belonged to Shaul's family, why is David doing a special favor and giving it to the son Mephibosheth? If there are other people who should inherit it, then it's sort of a kindness at others' expense. In other words, it seems like he's doing a special kindness by giving him back what should be his. And the Radak over there explained that after Shaul was killed, people knew that David had been anointed by Shmuel to be the next king, and to choose Shaul's son, Ishbosheth, as the king was wrong, and therefore it was as if the family was Morid B'Malchus, they were rebelling against David, and therefore all their property was confiscated. And David really could have kept all that property, since they didn't initially accept him as king. He did a special kindness, and he gave back the fields to Mephibosheth. And Tziva would work the land. A few prokim later, David HaMelech is fleeing from his son Avshalom in Perek Tes Zayin. And here we meet Tziva again. David is fleeing, he left on foot, they left without provisions. And all of a sudden Tziva shows up and he has donkeys laden with food, 200 breads, and there was raisins and dried figs, and he brought a little wine. And David asked him, where's your master? In other words, Tziva came with all of these supplies. Where's the master? Where's Mephibosheth? And Tziva said to him, you know what? He stayed in Yerushalayim. He sees it's a time of turmoil and upheaval, and he's hoping to get back the throne. Maybe people will see David HaMelech's family is not so good. They'll go back to the family of Shaul. So he stayed in Yerushalayim. The king said to Tziva, you know what? Everything I gave to Mephibosheth is yours. Hinei lecha kol asher leMephibosheth. You can have everything that I was going to give to Mephibosheth. And Tziva bowed down and he said, I should only find favor in the eyes of my master, in the eyes of David. That was in Perek Tes Zayin. Now we have the final episode. Mephibosheth ben Shaul, Mephibosheth the son of Shaul. Either it means Shaul was known as the head of the family, he was actually the one who had been king, or we'll see, David spoke to Mephibosheth in a way that he didn't seem to be the son of his good friend Yehonah's son. He was more the son of Shaul, where there was a constant battle. Shaul was after David's life. He's treated as Mephibosheth the son of Shaul. In Yorav Likras HaMelech, he went down from where he was to greet the king. All this time, David HaMelech had been on the run for these few months. Chazal say 6 months he was in Golos. Mephibosheth wasn't there. Now he comes. V'lo osa raglov. He didn't do whatever he should have done with his feet. Some Mephibosheth say he didn't wash his feet. And the feet obviously get very dusty and muddy. And if he didn't wash his feet, we can be assured that he didn't take a regular bath or shower. As he didn't even wash his feet. Another pshat is he didn't cut some hair that was unseemly on his body, like on his feet. The Gemara discusses in Yevamos Daf Mem Ches what hair is allowed to be removed by a man. The Gemara goes into a discussion about that. But also Raglo Kamini didn't cut his finger, his toenails. He didn't make his feet look nice. Or one of the Mephoshim says he was walking barefoot. Perhaps this had a connection with the preoccupation with the feet. Mephibosheth was crippled. Maybe there was some type of thing he would need to do for his feet. But as a sign of he was so upset, he didn't do whatever treatment. He didn't make his feet look presentable like he should have. V'lo'osa raglov. V'lo'osa svamo. He didn't trim his mustache. And we assume that the mustache is the first thing trimmed because it gets in the way of eating. So certainly the rest of the beard or the hair, certainly he just left that wild. Vespagotavalokibes, and he didn't wash his clothing. His clothing was not laundered. Lemin hayom leches hamelech, from the day that the king had gone, ad hayom ashebov shalom, till the day that he finally returned to Yerushalayim in peace, all that time, he didn't even wash his clothing. He didn't bathe. You can imagine the way he looked, the way he smelled, the way he came in looking like a wreck. For months he had lived like this. Now, of course, Mephibosheth himself was a prominent person. Besides the fact that we learned before, he had Tziva, where Tziva himself had a large family and he had slaves working for him. But Mephibosheth was the grandson of Shaul HaMelech. His uncle Ishbosheth had been the king for a while. He was a prominent person. We can imagine once Avshalom was back in power and was in power in Yerushalayim, probably there were parties and banquets and royal affairs. And the question is how Mephibosheth, we can assume, was possibly invited. But there were things going on in Yerushalayim, and he seemed to just not take care of himself this whole month, as if he was upset and unhappy with what was going on. And again, that could be understood, which we'll see, in two ways. Either he was unhappy with this whole train of events, and he was hoping to become the king again, or it is very likely that he was actually very upset that David had to flee. which is one way of learning, which we'll discuss more in the Gemara. It seems Mephibosheth was very, what he's going to tell David is going to be the truth. He was very upset that David was gone, and that's why he took care of himself, or didn't take care of himself, as we learn here. David had been concerned why Mephibosheth didn't come. Why didn't he come? Vayhi kivo Yerushalayim likrat hamelech. When he came to Yerushalayim, either means when David came to Yerushalayim, likras hamelech, Mephibosheth went to greet the king. Vayomalo hamelech, and the king said to him, lamalo halachti mi Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me when I had to flee and all my close friends joined me? Where were you? Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth? Especially David had done that special favor for Mephibosheth. He gave him the whole estate back, and he put Ziba in charge of taking care of the property. He had done the special kindness for Mephibosheth, and now when the things were down for David, where was Mephibosheth? And he had heard that Mephibosheth stayed in Yerushalayim because he was hoping to become the king. So Mephibosheth is going to explain why he didn't come. But the Malbim also points out, could be this pasuk should be read, Vayhi kivo Yerushalayim, Mephibosheth came to Yerushalayim, likras hamelech, to greet the king. That even though it seemed that Mephibosheth didn't, we know he didn't go with David, and it seemed like he was home, the truth was he left Yerushalayim. He really left Yerushalayim. He didn't know or he couldn't follow David, but he did leave Yerushalayim, and once David was back, Kivo Yerushalayim could mean that Mephibosheth came to Yerushalayim to greet the king. So David said to him, why do you go with me? Vayomar, so Mephibosheth said, Adoni HaMelech, my master the king, Abdi Rimoni, my slave, my servant, tricked me. That servant, Ziba, he fooled me. Ki Omar Abzecha, your servant, referring to himself, I had said, Ech b'sholi achamor, let me saddle up the donkey, ve'erkav oleho, and I'll ride on it. It was a female donkey. Ve'elech es hamelech, and I'll go with the king. I planned to go together with David. Ki v'seach avdecha, but I'm lame, and I wasn't able to travel, Mephibosheth said. So I was counting on my slave Ziba to go with me. And I would saddle the donkey, I would have Ziba saddle it up, but I'd have the donkey saddled up, and then I would go with David, but of course I needed my servant Ziba to help me out. Now, David didn't really need more people to go with him, especially if the person was crippled. In fact, we had before Hushai Ho'arki. David had a friend Hushai, and he came to greet David, and David said to him, you're an older man, it's difficult for you to travel, you'll be a masa, you'll be a burden to me. Better if you should go to Yerushalayim and try to thwart any plans Avshalom has against me. But to travel with David, if you're not able to move and to be a fighter, would have made things more difficult. But over here, having heard that Mephibosheth on his own accord didn't want to go, David asked him why he didn't go, and Mephibosheth answered that he wanted to go, but he was fooled and he was left behind. Kipiseach avdecho, because your servant, Mephibosheth said he was crippled and he wasn't able to go without Ziva's help. So according to this, it would seem like, in our Ziva loaded up two donkeys, and he had all this bread and raisins and figs. He loaded up all the supplies without the permission, without the knowledge. In other words, he left without Mephibosheth. It's like we're not sure, is Ziba a good person? Is he helping out David? Is he really not a loyal servant? Exactly where to judge Ziba and where to judge Mephibosheth? On one hand, even if Ziba took the donkeys, probably Mephibosheth could have found other donkeys. And even if he didn't follow immediately, why didn't he come later? On the other hand, Kubi was afraid if he would go later, Avshalom would notice him traveling, and it would look suspicious. Now, Ziba left with all those supplies, but Ziba was able to move quickly, and maybe he moved immediately when David left. Maybe Ziba was able to get out with the supplies, but Mephibosheth wouldn't. But it's hard to know exactly, which we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. It's hard to know, Mephibosheth telling the truth or not? Who do we believe? Vayiragel ba'avdecha. Not only that, but Tziva tricked me and he left without me. And then he went to you, David. Vayiragel ba'avdecha. And he slandered against your servant, meaning himself. He spoke against me. El Adoni HaMelech, to my master, the king. As Rashi says in Chumash, Oselech Rochil Ba'amecha, Rechilus, the peddler of Lashon Hara, is a guy who goes into the houses and he sees what, he sits down and he schmoozes with the people and he picks up a little bit of information and gossip. He sees things that are happening in the house. Then he goes into another guy's house and he tells him what he saw at the first place. And he goes around spreading all these reports. But it often means somebody who has hidden information, a secret. He's privy to knowledge that's happening inside the guy's house and somebody's not aware of. Here Tziva came and he's basically reporting the intentions of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is staying in Yerushalayim. He's hoping to become the king. That's the classical vayiragel, like the person going with Rechilus and spreading his secret. Holech Rochil Megala Sod. The Pasuk says the guy who goes with Rechilus spreads secrets. And here he comes to David and he says, Lashon Hara. Mephibosheth accused him of saying Lashon Hara. Vayiragel ba'avdecha, he slandered your servant El Adoni HaMelech to my master the king. But Vadoni HaMelech Kamalach Elokim, my master the king, David, you're like an angel of Hashem. I don't have to try to impress you or to convince you. I'm sure that you have Ruach HaKodesh, you're like an angel from Hashem, and you'll know what to do. And it's not like I even want to debate whether I'm right or wrong, because I want to get my field back. The king can do whatever he wants. In other words, I know you gave me all the property. Tziva came, and he told you that I wasn't coming because I'm on Avshalom. I want to get the throne back. See, you took it away, and you gave it to Tziva. Okay, whatever you want. Do what's good in your eyes. I don't have to try to convince you, but I'm telling you the true story. It's interesting that David HaMelech, obviously, you find a number of places in Shmuel that those who had met or had seen David HaMelech realized that he was like a Malach Elohim. We have the same expression in the end of Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Tes. At that point, David was with the Plishtim. He had been fleeing from Shaul, and the Plishtim were getting ready to do war. And David had been with the Plishtim for a while, and he was a loyal friend of the king, and Achish, who was the king, wanted David to come to battle with him. The other Plishtim officers said, David's going to end up being a fifth column. When the battle gets underway, you'll see David will turn against us to help his Jewish brothers. But over there, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof Tes, Achish said to David, my men don't want you to go with me to battle. They want you to stay back and don't come with us. Even though I know, Yodati Kitov Atza Ve'enai Kamalach Elokim, over there in Pasuk Tes, I know you're in my eyes like a Malach Elokim, like an angel of Hashem. I don't question you at all. But my men don't want, and therefore don't come with us to battle. And again in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Dalet, when the woman from Tekoa came, and she told David a whole story. She had two sons, and one son killed the other. And now, and the whole story, and the lesson was, it was to have David bring back Avshalom. But in that story, she addressed David, and she said, in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Zayin, she said that David HaMelech is like a Malach Elokim. Ki kamalach Elokim kein Adoni HaMelech lishmoa hatov hara. You're like an angel that you know what's good, what's bad. And here again we have this. Mephibosheth says to David, you're like a Malach Elohim. You're an angel, you'll know to do what's right. And I'm not interested in necessarily having the property back. And that's it. Paseh Tov Ve'Necho. Do whatever's good in your eyes. Ki lo hoya kol beis ovi. Because my whole father's house wasn't. Kim anshe movis. We were condemned men. We would have all been deserved to be killed. Ladoni Hamelech, by my master, the king. So Ovid, you could have killed the whole family. Either it means he could have judged them possibly as being Moreid B'malchus, as rebelling against the throne, or possibly Mephibosheth was saying it was a well-known practice that the kings would kill any possible opposition. And there are many kings who would have wiped out the family of Shaul, even if it was wrong. But whether David would have been right or David would have been wrong, there were many people who would have done such a thing. And Gim Anshe Moves Ladoni Hamelech. Our whole family was like condemned to die by our master the king. And yet, David, you didn't do that with us. But Toshes Asavtcha, you placed your servant, meaning himself, Ba'ochli Shulchanecha. You took me, instead of putting me on death's row, you took me and you put me to sit at the royal table. So what more justification could I say? And to cry out to the king and say things should be better and you should do more for me. You've done so much for me and I didn't deserve it from the very beginning. And I understand you got this report from Tziva, from my slave. So do whatever you feel is correct. So the king said to him, why do you have to speak your words anymore? I've heard your point. You don't need to say anymore. Amarti, I've said already. It's like a final decision. It's already been said. Amarti, I said, Atav Tziva Tachliku Es Hasodeh. You and Tziva should divide the property. You should divide the field. Now, before, he hadn't used those words, that you and Tziva should divide the field. He had said to Tziva, you can have everything that Mephibosheth has. It could be, first of all, it wasn't considered kavod. It wasn't honorable for the royal family, for the king, to start doing investigations who's right and who's wrong. Whereas the king has a certain power of confiscating property. The king can do certain, he has certain powers. And over here he's presented with a case, and he's going to decide it the way it seems to him right now, without calling off an official investigation, who's right, who's wrong. If Tziva is correct, that Mephibosheth stayed in Yerushalayim, because he wants to be the king, so then Mephibosheth should lose everything. And Tziva should get all the property. Tziva showed his loyalty to David, he came with all the supplies. If Mephibosheth is telling the truth, so Tziva should get nothing. He should be a slave. He should remain the slave. So David HaMelech decided, Atav Tziva Tachliku Es Hasodeh. You and Tziva should divide the field. Yachloku, you don't know who's right? We'll divide it. Especially since Tziva was working as the caretaker. And there's very often an arrangement of an oris, like a tenant worker that works and he shares the crop, a sharecropper. And he would work somebody else's field and get, very often, half of the produce. So it wasn't an unreasonable arrangement that Tziva will continue working all the land. Part of it he'll be working for Mephibosheth, and part he'll be working for himself, no less than any one of the laborers who had the sharecrop arrangement. And possibly he also gained that he's not totally going back on his words. He said to Mephibosheth, he said to Tziva, I'm going to give you the field of Mephibosheth. And now he's clarifying, I'm going to give you the field, but not everything, I'll give you half. But to totally take back his words, David HaMelech didn't want to do. He had promised the property to Tziva, so Tziva will get the property, but they'll divide the field. Vayomer Mephibosheth el HaMelech. Mephibosheth said to the king, Gamas HaKol Yikach. Let him take everything. Achrei asher bo Adoni HaMelech b'shalom. After the fact that my master the king has come in peace, El Beso back to his house, I'm happy that you're back home in Yerushalayim. I really don't care about the property. Let Tziva have everything. On one hand, it sounds very magnanimous. It sounds very like he's deeply caring for David. On the other hand, the Gemara understands there's a tinge of possibly sarcasm. In other words, this whole time, I didn't take care of myself. I showed my mourning, and I lived a life of difficulty because I knew what you were going through. And that's all that mattered to me. And now you're going to give Tziva some of the property? If that's the way you care for me, give him everything. I really don't. It's hard to understand exactly how he meant his words. But the Gemara says in Shabbos, on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Rav Amar Kibol David Lashon Hara. Rav said David accepted Lashon Hara. Dechsiv, and he brings down our incident, what we mentioned before, initially Tziva said, my master doesn't know anything below Devar, and then David came and he saw that he was below Devar, he was full of Torah, so Michti, let's see. Chazia Deshakrahu. David saw that this man Tziva was a liar. The slave Tziva was a liar. He said that his master was ignorant and it was not correct. Ki hadar alshin elavei. So later on when Tziva came and he said Lashon Hara, my time akibul aminei. Why did David accept it? Oh, you already know that Tziva is not reliable. Dechsiv, and he brings down what we learned, that the king said to Tziva, where is Mephibosheth? And he said he's in Yerushalayim because he wants to get the throne back. How do we know David accepted the Lashon Hara? That was the Lashon Hara. That Tziva said Mephibosheth wants the throne. And we know he accepted the Lashon Hara because the king said, you can have everything that Mephibosheth had. That's the opinion of Rav. As the Gemara points out, the Gemara says really there's a contradiction in Rav. Romi de Rav ad Rav, because Rav himself said, Kad ma'aynis, when you look into the Inyan, when you study the Pesukim about David HaMelech, lo mashkachas be'bar mida urya. The only avera you find David is held accountable for was the incident with Uriah and with taking Bathsheba and having Uriah killed. That's the only avera that seems to be highlighted. And the Gemara ends off kasha. That's a difficulty. Oh, you're right. Rav himself says David accepted Lashon Hara. On the other hand, Rav himself says David was only held accountable. The only avera he seems to be blamed for is the fact that he accepted Lashon Hara. But the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara just says kasha. It's a difficulty. And as Tosis points out, the truth is there are other things that David made mistakes. He counted Klal Yisrael, but you have to know what counts as an aveir. In other words, the incident with Uriah, even though it was legally correct, was such a chil Hashem, he was held accountable for that. But let's see what happened with Lashon Hara. Possibly he wasn't held to blame, because even though Rav held he was guilty of accepting Lashon Hara, it wasn't even really, as Shmuel says, the Amor Shmuel Amar, lo kibol David Lashon Hara. Shmuel says David did nothing wrong. He didn't accept Lashon Hara. Whatever he did was correct. And even though Rav might have held he was wrong, but the very fact you see a different opinion in the Amoraim, it obviously wasn't such a terrible mistake. Shmuel said Shmuel said that David was correct. Why? Because it says that Mephibosheth came to David looking terrible. So it could be, Kasavar David thought, as Rashi says, Sheni Karim Divrei Tziva, that it's noticeable from the matters of Tziva, Sheni Tztayer Al Shechazar David. It could be, he came to David, and when you greet the monarch, you have to dress properly, right? By Yosef, when he was brought to Paro, by Yigalach, by Yichalif Simlosov, he cut his hair and he switched his clothing. You're going to see Paro, you have to look presentable. And here Mephibosheth comes to David as if David's nothing special and he doesn't even deserve a mustache. He didn't even wash his feet. In other words, he did nothing. David, he didn't care about David. That's the way he comes to the king. So Shmuel held it was so clear to David that Mephibosheth wanted the throne and didn't want David. And that's why he came to David unpresentable. That's called Devarim Hanikarim, where it's noticeable that the report is correct. A person can receive it, can believe it. As the Mishnah Berurah points out, the Chafetz Chaim points out in his Sefer, Chafetz Chaim, in Klal Zion, Sif Yud. He's talking about Lashon Hara, and he says if a person hears Lashon Hara about another person, Thank you. Oh. Okay. The Chofetz Chaim says in Klal Zayin, Sif Yud, if a person hears Lashon Hara, but there's Devarim Hanikarim, in other words, you heard a report about somebody, and you looking at the situation, see that it's what you're hearing is correct. There's a basis that a person can believe Devarim Hanikarim if it's noticeable that the report is true. Because again, you heard it, you're not really basing your belief on what you heard. You're not accepting the Lashon Hara, but there's Devarim Hanikarim. You notice that what you heard is correct. As you heard he did something, and the evidence is clearly that way. But the Chofetz Chaim warns you have to be very careful. Because as we said over here, according to Rav, this was a mistaken judgment. In other words, Devarim Hanikarim, you have to know that it really is clear that way, that you're interpreting the event correctly. But he points out from our story, but you see, once there is Devarim Hanikarim, if it's clear that the negative report is true, it was believed, even though Tziva was an Eved Kanaini, he was a slave, he was not even a full-fledged Jew, he believed the words of somebody like Tziva, and even though Tziva was proven to be a liar before, because the Gemara says once Tziva's a liar, how did he believe the reports of Tziva? And Shmuel answers, he saw Devarim Hanikarim, the story was obviously true. But so we see that there's a basis to believe Devarim Hanikarim, words like that, even from such a person. Of course it needs, you should make sure to ask your Rav, and it needs to be done with care that you are indeed interpreting the event correctly. The Gemara continues and it brings down the whole story with Shmuel, the way Shmuel understands the Psukim, how Mephibosheth came, and then the final decision was they're going to divide the field. Atzavitziva tachliku es asodeh. A batskol came out. This fits with what Rav said. A batskol came out, a voice came out from Shemayim and said to David, you frivolously divide the field. In other words, you think that you're doing the right thing and whether you're right or wrong, Mephibosheth is going to lose half his property. You said to divide the field, Rechavim v'yerovim yechalku es hamelucha. Your grandson, Shlomo HaMelech, had a son, Rechavim. And when Rechavim became the king, there was a split in Klal Yisrael. Yerovim ben Nevat said, follow me. All those who want to go with David can stay with the household of David. Everyone else should come with me. And Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, went with Yerovim ben Nevat. David HaMelech split up the property of Mephibosheth. Hashem said, okay, your property, David, your malchus, your royal, your monarchy will be divided. And there was a split between the 10 tribes and the Yehudim Binyamin. Amrav Yehudim Rav, Ilmoli lo kibol David Lashon Hara. Again, this is all the way Rav understands these psukim. If David didn't accept this Lashon Hara, lo nechlikul malchus based David, there never would have been a split in the melucha. And we'll see Shlomo HaMelech made a mistake also, but he would have gotten punished in other ways. They wouldn't have split up the monarchy. V'lo avdu Yisrael avodah zara. And if they never split up the Malchus, Klal Yisrael would not have sunken into avodah zara. What happened was, when they split up the Malchus, Yerovim ben Nevat made a simple calculation. 3 times a year, everybody goes to Yerushalayim, and they're oil and rego. In fact, they go into the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara, and everyone stands except for the king, from Malchus Beis David. So can you imagine, I have my own government, I have the 10 tribes, and 3 times a year we're all going to go to Yerushalayim, and we're all going to be standing, except for Rechavam and the king from Shlomo HaMelech's lineage. It's showing that I'm not the real king. So Yerovam announced, nobody's allowed to go to Yerushalayim. And he set up idols. And he said everyone should go and worship to his calves. He set up the Avodah Zarah in 2 places. And so as a result of splitting the Malchus, Yerovim ben Nevat felt he needed to set up idols. And they worshipped the Avodah Zarah and it led to the Golus. And if this all happened because David accepted Lashon Hara. Again, this is the way Rav understands it. And Shmuel says it wasn't Lashon Hara. He was justified in doing what he did. That's the end of the story with Mephibosheth and Tziva. Barzilai Hagilodi, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Barzilai Hagilodi Yored Meroglim. It was an old man, Barzilai Hagilodi, came down from Roglim. Vayavaras HaMelech HaYarden, he crossed over with the king. They crossed back over the Yarden onto the west side. L'shachos HaYarden, we read it HaYarden, to send off David HaMelech from the Yarden. You know, he was going to cross the Jordan with him, and then David would go back, continue on his way to Yerushalayim, and Barzilai would return home. Barzilai was one of the three people who had come and brought David HaMelech supplies of all different types. And now that David was going back to being the king, Barzilai accompanied him. Barzilai zokin mode. Barzilai was very old. Ben Shmonim Shani was 80 years old. And it's interesting because we think that, you know, our lifespan now is longer than it has been since the times of, Avraham Avinu, since the times of the earlier generations. But the Mephoshim, the Gemara already says 80 years old is old. But it's not very old. To say Zokei Mod, he's very old. He was only 80. So the Gemara actually learns out from there that it seems he didn't live, he was Shotuf Bezima, he didn't live such a moral life, and therefore that weakened his body physically, that at the age of 80 he seemed very old, like he'd be 100 years old. But he certainly was up there in years, even if it wasn't enough years to really be Zokei Mod. But who killed us HaMelech B'Shivoso B'Machanoyim? He had fed and supported David when David was in Machanoyim. That was when he had fled from Avshalom. He was in the place Machanoyim. He took care of David. Ki Ishkodol Humaod, he was a very great person. He was wealthy. So David had a number of reasons why he wanted to honor Barzilai. First of all, Barzilai was an older person. And somebody who's a Zokin, especially Zokin Ma'od, he was 80 years old already. David wanted to honor him. Second of all, David had a Hakaras HaTov. Barzilai helped him out. And third of all, he was a prominent, he was a Choshev, and he was an important person. He was an Ish Godol Humod, he was very wealthy. And therefore David felt, because of his station in life, he should be honored. So the king said to Barzilai, "Ata avori me, you should cross over the Yarden with me." This conversation, it says he crossed over, but now this actually happened before he had crossed. He said, "Ata avori te, you should cross with me the Yarden. V'chalkalti oscha imodi, and I'll feed you with me, b'Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim." Could be he had depleted his resources, all these months that he had supported David. Could be it was David with David's household and David's men. We're not sure how much he spent on the upkeep. But now that David would be back in Yerushalayim, he could return the favor, and Barzilai would have what to eat and he'd be taken care of. Or it could be Barzilai still had his wealth, but v'chilkalti oscha imodi, I like to support you imodi with me. And you'll be at the royal table, you'll be with me in Yerushalayim, in recognition of all that you've done, and who you are. Vayomer Barzilai el HaMelech, Barzilai said to the king, Kama yimei shnei chayai, how many are the days of the years of my life? As I don't have that much longer to live. Ki ela es HaMelech Yerushalayim, that I should go with the king to Yerushalayim. My life is nearing its end, Barzilai said. Out of all these years of his life, he's down to counting days. You know, how many days are left from his whole life? So, what's the need for him to go to Yerushalayim and have this special kavod? He's at the end. Ben Shmonim Shana Anochi Hayom, I'm 80 years old today. Ha'eda ben Tov L'ra. Do I know the difference between good and bad? It could mean he didn't have his taste buds. I don't know the difference between good food and bad food. So you bring me to the royal table that I should have a good meal. It all tastes the same. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Chazal also learned, Ha'ida bein tov l'ra, that sometimes the zokein, a person who's old at that age, already doesn't have his power of reasoning. He doesn't have the mental faculties. And it's not like I can help you. It's not like I would be able to give you any advice and I would be a person who remembers from the earlier years and the fact that I'm 80 years old, but my experience won't be of any use because I've already reached the point that I don't know the difference between good and bad. In Yitam Avdecha es asher ochal, do you think your servant tastes what I eat? Ves asher eshten, what I drink? Im eshma'o, do I hear any more b'kol shorim v'shoros, the voice of singers, whether they're men or women? The Targum interestingly says, b'kal kinrin v'sushpachon. A kinor is a harp. In other words, could be shorim and shoros is not singers, but it's musicians. But whether they're, music has no meaning to me, whether it's with instruments or it's vocal, but I don't appreciate music anymore. So what's the point of being at the royal table? It's a waste of the food, you know, using up a seat, it has no meaning to me. Why should I be a further burden, El Adoni HaMelech, to my master the king? Chazal learned out, the Me'am Lois brings down, that Tzorech Odom Lispalal Al Ziknoso, a person should daven for his old age. Shetahei Einov Ro'os, his eyes should be able to see. Upiv Ochel, and his mouth should be able to eat. Varaglov Mahalchos, his feet should be able to go. Because we see from Barzillai, in other words, even though he was still living, but his body was no longer able to, his mind, he had reached that point in life. But it's a lesson that a person should be misfollowed, that he should have his health and his faculties. But what Barzillai said is, why should I come to Yerushalayim? First of all, he said his life is almost over. Second of all, there's really no advantage. He won't be able to help out David HaMelech, and whatever David does for him is not a help. He's not interested in it. So it's not a benefit for David, and it's not a benefit for him. Kimat yavar avdecho es hayardein, es HaMelech. And there's a number of ways of understanding it. One is, kimat, it's just a little bit that I did, that Yavar Avdecha Es HaYarden Es HaMelech, that your servant will cross the Yarden with David. All that, what he had fed David, he didn't bother mentioning. But right now I'm accompanying you, so the little bit I'm going to cross the Yarden with you, but that little bit doesn't deserve, V'lomi Yigmaleini HaMelech HaGmul HaZos, why should the king pay me back with such a reward that I should be at the royal table? I didn't do much for you. The Barbanel learns, what he was saying was, I'm already at the point of life that the strain of crossing the Yarden, he said, could kill him. Kimat, just a little bit that the servant, that I would cross over the Yarden with the king, that would be the end of me. So, V'lom Yigmaleini HaMelech HaGmul HaZos, why should you do that to me? Let me stay home and spend the rest of my life peacefully. The strain will be too much. But the Rashi brings down the Pshat as Kimat Yavar Avdecho Es HaYarden. What Barzillai said is, I appreciate the offer that I can be together with David. A little bit, I'll cross over the Yarden, I'll go with you a little bit, and that's it. I don't. V'lom Yigmaleini HaMelech HaGmul HaZos. Why do you have to give me a reward to be at the king's table? I don't need to be at the king's table. Just what I will do is cross over the Yarden and accompany you a little bit. Yoshevna avdecha v'amus pe'iri. Let your servant return and die in my own city. In kever avi v'imi, with the grave of my father and my mother. And the Me'am Lois brings down, first of all, you see that a nifter has a hana if the family and those that loved him come to visit. You see this Indian of, in other words, he wanted to be in his city. I should be in the city and die there with the graves of his parents, that people would be able to visit him. And there would be mevakesh al nishmasam tova, he says. People would come to visit the kever and be mispalo that Hashem should have rachmanis, like we make a kel mole rachmim, that Hashem should have rachmanis and do favor with the nifter, with the one who is nifter. And he also puts in, and they also mispalel al hachayim kishemavakshi mehem. And those that were nifter will be mispalel for the living when they're asked. Which is a separate discussion. There's a big machlokus among the poskim, whether in general, do we ask, for instance, do we ask the Malachim to intercede on our behalf and to bring our prayers to Hashem, or is that wrong? And we go directly to Hashem. And when somebody goes to the cemetery, are they asking the one who's buried there to intercede, be a good to better, and whatever, intercede on our behalf? Or are we just speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're here in the presence of these Heilige Menschen, the people who were here, the holy people who had each had the big tzaddikim, or everybody has outstanding qualities. And certainly now where their neshamas in Olam Haba and they've gotten whatever punishment could have happened to them, now the neshamas in Gan Eden, so we're looking at totally pure people, and in the cemetery in the Zechus, and the people buried here, Hashem Shav Rachmanis, but not that we're speaking to the Nifter. But I point out that, as I say, the Mayam Lois learns that he's buried there and they're mispalo for the living when requested. And we also see it's a nachas ruach to be buried where a person died. There's a name that a person died there to be buried there. Again, there are many cheshbonos, why people are buried in different places, and they're all true, but there is this inyan that v'amus be'iri, and I'll die in my city with the kever of Ivimi, with the grave of my father and my mother. In fact, he brings from Shavuos is coming up, Basher tamusi amus. Ruth said to Naomi, I'm going to stay with you. And wherever you die, I will die. Visham ekover. And there I will be buried. And the Ma'am Lois says that's exactly what his point. And Ruth said, wherever you die, I'll die and I'll be buried there. Again, that's a mace. There's an advantage. There is an inyan in being buried where the person died. So Barzillai said he wants to go back home. V'hinei avdecha kimham. But your servant kimham, who, as Rashi brings down, was the son of Barzillai. Mars, my son, Yavar Imadoni HaMelech, should cross over with my master, the king, and do with my son whatever is good in your eyes. In other words, I don't have that much of a life left, Barzillai said. There's no benefit in me coming. And the third point is, I didn't do that much for you that I deserve a reward. And if even so you want to treat me well, do for my son. He's a person who would appreciate such an honor. But Yomar HaMelech, the king said, Iti Yavar Kimam. Kimam will cross over with me, Vani Esalo, and I'll do with him Esatov Beinecha, whatever is good in your eyes. I'll treat Kimam in the best manner as you would want. V'chol Asher Tivcholai, whatever you choose to put on me, Esaloch, I'll do for you. In other words, I'm at your service, and you can always change your mind. Whatever you want, I'll do for you, Barzillai. Vayavar kol ha'am es ha'yardein. Everybody crossed the Yardein. Va'amelech over, and the king crossed the Yardein. Vayishak ha'melech le'Barzillai vayivorcheyu. The king kissed Barzillai, and he blessed him. Vayoshev li'makomo. And then he returned to his place. Just the point I've mentioned, it's come up a number of times. But there's a famous Ibn Ezra in Sefer Bereishis when it says Yaakov met Rachel. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel. And Ibn Ezra points out, it doesn't mean like in a simple way, like you'd say two people kissed. Then you'd say, Vayishak Yaakov Rachel. Yaakov kissed Rachel. Or you'd say over here, Vayishak HaMelech Barzillai. The king kissed Barzillai. The term is Vayishak HaMelech l'Barzillai. He kissed to Barzillai. Meaning, he didn't say like blowing a kiss, but the kiss was to Barzillai. Like he'd kiss him on the hand, or kiss him on the neck, or on the head, but it wasn't mouth to mouth in that type of manner. And the same thing, Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel. Yaakov kissed to Rachel. Meaning again, he realized that she was from his family, and she had outstanding qualities he could see. Anodom Godel once explained to me, like when the Torah talks about the Imos having Yifas Torah, Yifas Mara, they were beautiful. He said it's like somebody would see a Godel, and you see the Hadras Ponim, and you see the Kedusha, and you see there's different types of beauty. There's the beauty that, you know, the Goyim will see that, you know, a certain man looks handsome. And then there's the Hadras Ponim Lahavdol of a Godel, where you see the Kedusha, and it's a different type of, but it's a beauty. The person can stand there looking at the tzaddik, and they just can't get over that you can see the holiness. Yaakov saw Rachel, the Yifas Torah, the Yifas Mara, her inner qualities shown through, and Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, he kissed to Rachel. Again, the same idea, Vayishak HaMelech l'Barzilai, he kissed to Barzilai as a sign of caring and concern and love and affection, but it was a kiss to him. Vayavar HaMelech HaGilgola, the king crossed over to Gilgal, V'chimon Avar Imo with Kimhon, that was again the son of Barzilai. V'chalam Yehuda Heviru as HaMelech, that's the way it's read, Heviru, all of the people of Yehuda crossed, brought over the king. V'gam Chatzi Am Yisrael, and half of Am Yisrael. And again, Chatzi doesn't literally mean half. Most of the Mefarshim take it to mean Chatzi means like a piece. Like it says, you break the matzah in half and you take the bigger half and put it away for the afikoman. It's not a bigger half. It's not a half. It's the bigger piece. But v'gam chatzi am Yisrael, there was part of am Yisrael went. The part could be that Shimi had come to David with 1,000 men from Binyamin. Could be he brought 1,000 men. That was the group. Maybe he brought part of them. Maybe there were some others who joined. But it was a small group of Yisrael and v'chol Am Yehuda, all of Am Yehuda. Now the truth is Yehuda was sort of, on one hand, that was David HaMelech's tribe. That was his Shevet. David was their man. So you can understand now David's coming back to be king. So Shevet Yehuda wants to go out and greet him. He's one of them. While the other 10 tribes were all Klal Yisrael, but he wasn't from their Shevet. On the other hand, Yehuda had actually gone with Avshalom. And as Avshalom had come into Yerushalayim, and all the people in Yerushalayim were with Avshalom, except for David's supporters left with him. So, on one hand, Yehuda was close to David. On the other hand, Yehuda was actually with Avshalom also. But as it is, all of the Am Yehuda went with David, and there were some of Am Yisrael. V'hinei kol ish Yisrael boim el hamelach. Afterwards, all of Kol Ish Yisrael. Then the next point was, all of Yisrael got together and they came to David. And they had a complaint. You were in exile. You came back as king. Who's inviting you back to be the king? Who are you showing you're the king of? Vayomru el HaMelech, they said to the king, Madu genavucha achenu. It's like our brothers abducted you. They stole you away. Ish Yehuda, the men of Yehuda. You are now again the king over the nation. Why is it that Yehuda makes it look like you're theirs? You're no longer their man. You're for all of us. Vayaviru es hamelech v'esbeso. They crossed over the king and his household as Hayarden the Jordan. They brought you over the river. V'chol anshei David imo, and you got all of your men of David together with him. It's like David is the king over Yehuda, and then he's being brought back to Yerushalayim to rule the country. Your close advisors, your close men, everyone's from Yehuda, and we're just going to have to accept you as the king. We wanted to bring back David. We were involved from the very beginning. So why are you treating your Shevet special? Vayan kol ish Yehuda al ish Yisrael. And here we see a mistaken diplomacy. All of the people of Yehuda responded to the ish Yisrael. Again, if they would have been apologetic, they could have responded in the right way, and things would have quieted down. But here the Ish Yehuda responds to Ish Yisrael. Ki korov hamelech elai. Why are you asking why David is being brought back with us? Because the king is closest to us. He is our king, and you have to accept him, but he's from our Shevet. V'lama zechor alecha. Not only that, but why are you getting all upset? Do you feel it's not covered for David that we're the only ones who brought him across? It's not a lack of covered for David, and it's you don't really have a taina. Why are you getting all upset? Al hadavar hazeh, about this matter. Do you think the king served us any food? We had banquets. You missed the inauguration ceremony and the reception afterwards. We didn't eat anything. He didn't give us any special portions. Some of Forshim learned that Yisa is to like forgive us. It wasn't like we had a meeting with David and David said, you know, you people in Yehuda backed Avshalom, but I'm now forgiving you. And the Ish Yisrael weren't there when there was forgiveness and none of that happened. He didn't make any parties for us. He didn't give us any portions. He didn't forgive us for the rebellion. Nothing. We happen to be the ones with David and we crossed the Yarden. And therefore, there's no reason for you to be upset. Vayan Ish Yisrael is Ish Yehuda. So the person, the people of Yisrael responded to the Ish Yehuda Vayomer and he said, Esu Yodos Leva Melech. I have 10 portions in the king. If Klal Yisrael is 12 Shvatim, our group is 10. So we actually have a greater claim to David than you do. There's a rule, Rov V'Karov Holchim Achar HaRov. If you have the multitude, and the minority is closer. But we follow in the Rav, the majority. He's the king over Klal Yisrael. We don't look at the fact who his family is. And he's now one of the nation. He's no longer like special from your Shevet. V'gam b'David, and also with David, ani mimcha. First of all, I have 10 portions in the king, no matter who the king is. Even in taxes and in terms of the revenue of the government, we provide 10 out of 12 portions of keeping this government going. And with David also, he might be from Shevet Yehuda, but my Shevet, has our 10 Shvatim have a greater claim than you. Madua Hakilo Sani, why do you treat me as a lightweight, insignificant? As you don't care what I think. V'lohaya Dvari Rishon Li, wasn't the word first with me? L'hashav Esmalki, to bring back my king. It was my idea to bring back the king. V'yikesh Dvar Ish Yehuda. But the words of the people of Yehuda were harsher, midvar Ish Yisrael, from the words of the Ish Yisrael. The people in Yehuda spoke more forcefully, and they didn't budge, and we'll see what's going to happen. But they insisted, and they spoke harshly. Now Rashi brings down, Vayikesh Dvar Ish Yehuda. What happened was, their words were difficult, because they found the letter. A letter, David had sent a letter to his Shevet. If all of Klal Yisrael is bringing me back as king, why are you people in Yehuda delaying? You should also be there to greet me. That letter was now produced, which shows that David wanted his Shevet to be the ones to bring him back. Now, the simple meaning is David just felt you shouldn't have everyone bringing him back and his Shevet staying behind as if they still backed Avshalom. Now, Shevet Yehuda is with Avshalom, and the rest of Klal Yisrael is bringing back David. Avshalom was dead already. So simply he meant his Shevet should also be involved. But this letter was now produced to show that David cared about his Shevet more. So we'll see, he just finished this whole difficult episode with Avshalom, but he's not finished. Yirat Hashem, next time, Perek Chof. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.